Well, good morning, Neely's Creek, and welcome to Sunday School. Welcome to Sunday School on your computer or by a CD. We are going to be continuing in the book of James. So this lesson applies for Sunday, July 26th. So we'll have some time. We'll spend some time in the book of James. If you look in your quarterly, hopefully everyone has one by now. James 3, verses 1 through James 4, verse 12, is where we're going to be looking. Let's begin with just a little, some prayer coming before our Father in heaven, some asking. That the Spirit may just work in our hearts as we move along through this passage. But I think the way to begin that is to pray. So let's do that now. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you because you are our God. You have created and you hold and you sustain. And Lord, when we think of your creation, you have created us. Lord, you have created us as even lords of this creation, originally fulfilling the mandate that you would have for us to go and to further your work in creation. But Lord, we have sought a place that was not ours, and we have fallen. And Lord, you know this. And in that falling, we look to ourselves so often to fulfill those innate desires that we still have, albeit broken and cracked, to be close to you, to communion with you. To have a relationship, a perfect relationship with you, which we had in the beginning. Lord, we have those desires, but we are broken. And so we seek to fulfill those desires in many ways. And the ways in which we seek to fill those desires, they will never be filled by those means. Because the only way is being filled with you. And so you have graciously moved towards us by your Holy Spirit. You have drawn us unto yourself. And so we give you praise and honor and glory for what you have done on our behalf by sending your Son, your only Son, the only begotten Son, the Son, taking on the form of a man. Living as a man, a perfect and spotless life, that he may sacrifice himself that may be a perfect propitiation for our sins, that we may then be spotless and whole and clean before you. And we may now be sons and daughters back in perfect relationship with you because of him. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember these things. Lord, and the remembering of those things would cause us to worship you. To love you, to spend time with you, to commune with you, to find bread. That we will not hunger again once we eat. Water, which we will not thirst again. And we find that in you. And so, Lord, no matter the difficulty in what we may be facing, although it may seem insurmountable, may we look to you. No matter the joy, the times that are good and resting that we may find in you. let us know that those will not fill us, those will not keep us, but you will. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, and in his name that I ask that our hearts would be directed and your spirit may be at work. Amen. So let's open to the book of James, chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach, will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they will obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue of a fire. Excuse me, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. James chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealousy over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and the judges of the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So, going back to James 3 and then working our way down to the end of James 4. A couple personal applications that I would like to weave into what we will be expounding in these verses. The first one coming at the beginning and the second one coming toward the end. The first one is, if we read James chapter 3 and verse 1, he's talking about teachers. Some of you listening to this Sunday school recording are teachers. You teach your fellow church members the Word of God. James gives us a warning. I am included in that statement because you are listening to teaching from me. And I think sometimes that we can come to the text and we can come to the lectern and we can come in a way in which we are confident in what we say and we can be coming from a place that is not right. We can be confident in what we say in two ways, at least from my experience. We can be confident in what we say because we are confident that we have studied the material that we need to study, and that may be the exposition from our quarterly curriculum. And we understand what the exposition says, and we take heart, in so to speak, in that knowing the exposition and what has been said by the commentators that have written this exposition for us, at least we will be able to present and to explain what has already been written, and isn't that what I need to be doing? So that is the first place in which we can come to this. The second place in which we can come to this is we have a confidence that we have maybe even trying our best, we have come to some conclusions and some applications that surely by my cross-references and by the ways in which we have studied and by those whom I have read, that I should be able to present something that would be helpful to my brothers and sisters. We can be confident, we can be shaking in our boots, and still come to the place of teaching that really is not where we need to be because it hasn't started where we need to start. When the Lord gives us this warning through James about our tongue and a warning about those who speak many words, the personal application that comes to me and that I would like to share with you and that maybe has come to you already, and I may be slow, but the personal application is my wordiness, my ability to speak for 25 minutes, my ability to expound what has already been written, or my ability to even expound scripture by using that which I have studied, may not be exactly what you need to be presenting. Very clearly and very succinctly, what I am saying is this. What we as teachers must do is be presently aware of where we are personally in our relationship with the Lord and how He is working in us, because where we are and where we are standing in our relationship with Him is self-evident by where our heart is and where we are as people. Are we being led around like a bit in a horse's mouth attached to a rein by sin, using the same word that is reigning in our mortal bodies? Are we controlled? Are we led about most of our week by our own passions and desires that we know are not godly? They are of our own flesh, and James says they are even demonic. They are of the devil. And he says that we can live, and this goes for all believers, that we live in such a way where we are the now and the not yet. We are the redeemed, but yet we have not been made perfect yet because we are not in His presence. He has not returned and made us perfect, whole, as we will be in His presence for all eternity. But that is no excuse, and that is not a reason that we should not, with everything that we have, strive to look, to behave, and to speak as one who is led by the Spirit, as one who exemplifies the fruits of the Spirit, which have been made manifest in our own hearts. Why? Because we have been set free so that we may walk in the good works that He has provided for us. We have been given the Holy Spirit so that we are able to not obey the lust of the flesh. We can walk in the Spirit so that we will not obey the lust of the flesh. As Galatians 5 says. So when we come to teach, we come to teach dependent on the Spirit. We come to teach as an outflow of what we have been learning from God and what we have seen by His Spirit, exemplifying those things which the Lord has been teaching us. We come to teach having understood and having applied what we have learned to our own hearts in such a way that we can very simply and without wordiness teach others. Because if we are teaching others, we have already, and it goes without saying, we have decided by the confirmation of others and by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit in your own heart that you have the gift of teaching. And so when you come to teach, if you cannot explain it clearly, it may be that you haven't studied. But beware that it is not because you are not in a place with the Lord to be able to present the material. We need to come And we need to understand that by our many words, we are able to stumble and we will stumble. But we need to be in great dependence upon the Lord and in the relationship that I have with Him and that you have with Him, that that be seen and that be the grid by which we teach. Because this little thing called our tongue, it will say and it will reveal those things which are in your heart. They will not be hidden when you open your mouth. And that goes for anyone. So beware and be encouraged, because the Lord gives grace. And He gives grace upon grace, that as we abide in Him, He will abide in us. For He is the true vine. So abide in Him, and we will look more and more like Him. And we will be like Him when we are where He is in glory. So moving a bit on here, he gives the illustrations of the tongue. He says that it's like a rudder of a ship. This little rudder down in the water is able to move a mighty ship. I've already talked about how the tongue can be like a horse, like the bit or the bridle of a horse. He says that the tongue can be like a small spark over dry tinder. And I've also touched on the fact that we, like in verses 9 through 12, are a part of this, the now and not yets. We struggle, as Paul describes his struggle in Romans. Let me go there real quick. Romans chapter 7. Looking here now, and let's read a little bit of this together and let Paul illustrate this for us. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin is had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Moving on to verse 13. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Continue to read on. But he ends by saying, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. He knows that there is sin at work in us. For we have been set free. We are no longer dead in our trespasses and sins, but we, by the Spirit, we war against sin. And we seek to kill it in our mortal bodies, but we are able to kill it. We are able to look more and more like Jesus because of Jesus. The Spirit works in us. And through Jesus Christ our Lord, we will be delivered. Because he who has begun a good work in you, what is the rest of the verse? He will bring it to completion. He who has begun a good work in you, he will bring it to completion. So even this little member that's really just a piece of flesh, it is not evil in itself. It is what we instruct it to do and what we instruct it to say that shows where we are. And even that little member, it will be brought into the completion. Because he that has begun a good work will do it. And it will look like him one day. And it can look more and more like him today. James would not be warning us to watch how we use it if it were not so. So be aware of what is within, for it will manifest itself without, especially through our speech. Our time is away, but I would like to end our time together today talking about a warning against worldliness. And basically in James 4, he's talking about being people who focus on what we don't have in this world. We are Americans. So many times if we don't have something, if something breaks around our home, if something wears out, I know I find myself trying to figure out by what way will I be able to afford this? Well, many times I'll try to find my own solutions. Maybe, oh, well, I can finance it, or I can do this or that, or I can move this or that around. I find that that is my first reaction rather than asking the Lord for whatever it is that I may need. And he says that we ask, we have not because we haven't asked. Our Father who is good, Jesus tells us, if we ask him for bread, he is not going to give us a stone. He cares. He loves us. And maybe the reason even financially that we are in the place that we are is because we haven't asked. Because sometimes when we ask and we go to God and we ask, we may realize I'm asking wrong. I'm asking in sin. I'm asking selfishly. And our hearts may be rebuked on the spot. And by asking him, we may realize, oh, I just need to be content with what I have. But sometimes when we ask, the Lord is going to go, yes, my child needs that. I'm going to provide it. I may use someone in my body to provide it, or I may just provide it. Because I am the Father, and I am the loving Father, and I am able to provide, and I will do it. So, he says that in ways that, in thinking about ourselves, which is ultimately what we do when we act in ways where we are focused on what we don't have. We can even think about ourselves when it comes to others in our church. When we think about ourselves, we value our own opinions above those other opinions that may be present. You can see that a lot about in a situation even like COVID. Everybody has an opinion about what we should be doing. But we need to strive for unity. We need to strive to be humble and meek and kind. Because when you're humble and you're meek and you're kind, when you see those people who are humble and meek and kind, it is the Lord who is at work in them. because it is the Lord and the fruits of the Spirit that produces self-control, for instance. And we are confident in our Lord, and that His place is still squarely upon the throne, and He is able to lead us, and He is able to provide for us without us having to fracture over disagreements on how we should fix something. So, let us look to Him and be confident in Him, that He is working in us and He will bring that work to completion. Not only in us, but in His body, the church, until we sit down at His great banquet feast with Him. There we have it. So, let us end our time today. Blessings on your week. Thank you.